the Cheltenham Festival 2018, our strongest lineup yet.
Enhanced odds, high five, and extra bet boosts on every race.
Check out all the Cheltenham betting and T's and C's at williamhill.com.
You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Looking ahead to day three of the Cheltenham Festival, Alex Dunn and Craig Forsyth teaming up to try and bring you a winner or two on the Thursday. Not, I suppose, Craig, like punters will need much help after the first 2 days. It's been a bit of a punter-friendly festival so far.
It has, yes. The three shortest-priced favourites on day two, all obliged. Sam Crowe, very, very impressive when he won the Ballymore. And then Presenting Percy followed up in the RSA, tracking a really strong pace, came home alone. And Altior, who looked in trouble all the way round in the Queen Mama Champion Chase, pulled away in fine style in the closing stages from Min, who travelled by far the best in the race, but didn't see it out. And Altior follows up his success in the Arkle 12 months on.
We're recording this just after the Champion Chase, so we can't speculate on the cross-country or any of the races after that. We'll talk about Altior. It was really impressive that the way that he managed to pick up, having looked all out of sorts really for much of the race.
Yeah, I mean, very early in the contest, after the first fence, Alex, there was just a little sign there that Nico wasn't exactly happy with the horse, and he never looked to be travelling. And you know, his jumping was good. That was the one thing that kept him going. But he was never really travelling. He got squeezed out. And he went back to fourth or fifth coming down the hill at one stage. And yeah. I thought, well, you know, given his preparation hasn't been ideal, is this, you know, his race over here? But he kept going. He's jumping, as I say, kept him in it. And, you know, coming up that hill, he just relishes that challenge. And he pulled away and put daylight between himself and Min. I mean, if you look at them coming towards the last and at the line and the gap, he pulled away. Very, very impressive. He did the same last year in the Arkle with Cloudy Dream and Charbel, who, you know, if he'd have stood up, you know, it would have been interesting.
Yeah, fallen twice at consecutive festivals, hasn't he?
He has indeed. And Duvan, who he was going through the race, you know, like his old self, really, wasn't he, until he took a crash and fall.
Yeah,
that was a sad sight, really, but glad to see he got up and does look okay. But exceptional performance from Altior. Didn't look to be in love with the ground at any stage, and I think Nico de Boinville's comments after the race have suggested that, you know, it was the ground to blame, really, for the way he went through the first 75% of the race.
We mentioned that Duvan appeared to be up and okay. The same can't be said for Ruby Walsh, unfortunately. He had a tumble from Album Photo in the RSA, and as we record this, he's in hospital, isn't he? He's suspected leg injury once again.
Indeed, yeah, sad sight. You know, Album Photo, who departed at the second last, and we've seen Ted Walsh helping Ruby into the ambulance. He was putting weight on the leg and suspected he's broken the same leg as he did back in September, October time. So, yeah, that was a very sad part of the RSA, and we wish Ruby a very speedy and healthy recovery.
Absolutely. Presenting Percy was the winner of that race. As a Mona Lee backer...
That's two of us.
I can have no complaints. Mona Lee ran a perfectly sound race, beat the rest of them pretty comfortably, but paid the price for being prominent, whereas Presenting Percy was given a beautifully timed ride.
Too exuberant, Mona Lee, and, you know, his jumping was so good, it pulled him to the front.
Yeah.
And he was just free going and doing too much. Now, 3 miles and half a furlong in that ground, it takes some getting, and Mona Lee didn't give himself a chance to get home over that distance. And it's all right looking back in hindsight. Now we know the result and how he's ran, how he's went through it. And it's easy for us to turn around now and say the JLT may have been a better option over a slightly shorter distance.
Possibly. But he still ran a cracker. And
He did.
And as for the winner, given a sensible ride from Davy Russell, we know that he's got a lot of class about him. He clearly relishes the Cheltenham Festival. And he looked a real force to be reckoned with today.
Yeah, it's a long way to progress, really, in 12 months from winning a Perth Temps handicap hurdle to winning an RSA chase, no matter how good you are. The progression's been there for all to see. I have to say, though, to some extent, the race has fallen apart today, given the pace they've went. And Davy sat off the pace. Black Cotton, obviously, took them along. His jumping fell apart in the closing stages. And he was left with a straightforward task.
Yeah.
Impressive on the eye. Yet to see, and measure the times up and see how that comes out. But the race fell apart to a certain degree. But that isn't me trying to take anything away from how impressive presenting Percy was today and the way he's progressed all season, really, over fences.
We've got through 6 minutes of this podcast without even mentioning Sam Crowe, who was winner of the first race, the Ballymore. A lot of conjecture in the past few weeks about which race he was going to go for. Connections in the end vindicated in their decision to go for the Ballymore. It was never really in that much doubt, was it? Travelled supremely well, got to the front, stayed there.
Yeah, he was coming up against potentially other smart, battle-hardened performers in the Ballymore, and I was hoping, Alex, that we were going to see a real race. Horses challenging, getting Sam Crowe off the bridle. Let's see what he's got when push comes to shove. It never happened. Mm. He was too good for them. And he was too good for a horse. Then Black Op, who came into the race on the back of a real strong piece of form at Cheltenham when he finished second to Santini. And, he seen him off fairly comfortable. Ruby Walsh got next destination up into third for each way packers.
Somehow.
And somehow, yeah, indeed. But the absolute class horse was Sam Crowe in the Ballymore. I believe he could be chasing next year. Mm. But he looks, for me, something very, very special.
Yes, but it'll take a very good one to beat him.
Indeed, yeah, very much so. And just going back to presenting Percy, of course, that is a pointer as well for the chances of our Duke in the Gold Cup.
Of course.
Who
beat presenting Percy last time out.
He did indeed, Alex. So that's a real boost and a... Oh, Duke. Oh, and Friday's Gold Cup, which could be a real war of attrition given we're expecting another 11 millimetres of rain tonight into Thursday morning.
And with the addition of 48-hour decks to the festival, a good thing for all, I would say.
Brilliant thing for all.
My mind's completely fried. It's Wednesday afternoon and I've looked at every race so far and I still haven't had a win. No, I have. But it's... The days really do end up merging into one in terms of, well, obviously, in the business that we're in, we have to look ahead because some things need to be done in advance. So, for example, I was talking to Sir Anthony McCoy a little bit earlier on tomorrow's racing, a little bit on Fridays as well, but today's Wednesday, so I'm watching the racing out in the office. And frankly, the fact that I've even managed to get myself dressed today, Craig, and turn up at the right place is
doing well.
It's commendable.
You're doing well, Alex. Keep going. You've only got another 48 hours to last out.
And then to the pub.
To the pub.
And Saturday off. Oh, that's nice. And no Newcastle United to ruin it either.
Yes, very much so.
Right, we're going to focus on... Well, we normally give you two bets for the next day, but Craig Forsyth, the generous soul that he is going to give us three. We're going to focus on the three main races on... Thursday. Of course, we could give you a bet in every single one, but you can tune into William Hill Racing Radio tomorrow for all of the coverage. It's Gordon Brown, Chris Pimlott, and...
Ross Briley.
Ross Briley, it is. You're right. Well done, Craig. So, if you want to hear Pimmers, tune in. If you don't, probably not the place for you, to be honest. Yeah, Craig's just pointed out that my crib sheet is in front of him. So that's how he knew what was going on. And there's also racing at Hexham and Toaster and Chelmsford to look forward to tomorrow if you are looking elsewhere. We'll start, though, with the 130, the JLT from Cheltenham.
You promised me the 4-miler at Hexham.
No, I'm afraid not, although that will take some getting, won't it? Definitely will. This is an interesting renewal of the JLT in that there is not a standout contender by any means. Last year it was York Hill, and of course Willie Mullins had the dreadful start to the festival last year and then picked up on the Thursday. He's likely to saddle a favourite here in invitation only, but this is no penalty kick by any means. There's so many dangers if, and it is a big if with some of them, they do turn here in their best form and can stay on their feet.
Yep, that's wide open. Invitation only. I've been banging on about the form of the Floggers Chase at Leopardstown. The only horse that has won from that so far is Wrath of Indon. The only one I haven't backed, I think, Alex. And given he fell, and it was beaten at the time when he fell, you know, there was a lot of support behind him in the 4 miler. But Mona Lee ran well in the RSA. And Invitation Only, of course, finished third at Leopardstown behind Mona Lee last time. You know, jumping well, travelling well. It was a big step up, even though he finished third on the two victories from earlier in the season. He's a big player, is Invitation Only. Terrafort is next in the market. Nicky Henderson's French recruit. Two starts this year. Very, very impressive. And a handicap of 137 on his debut for the yard at Huntingdon back in January. And again, he just seen off Surname last time at Sandown. My one concern for him is both those victories have come on right-handed tracks. Mm. And Cheltenham is a totally different test for the horse. So I think he's plenty short enough. Looking at the rest, Finian's Oscar, you know, he's had a wind up, he's got tongue ties, he's got cheek pieces on for the first time. I'm looking for a few more ones beside his name with aids on that, you know, they're trying to bring him back. Wouldn't rule him out, Finian's Oscar. But one at a bigger price here that I think will give Invitation Only most to think about is Snow Falcon.
Okay.
He finished fifth in the Floggers. Now, at the time of recording, he's 16-1. An Invitation Only's 3-1. Mm. There wasn't all that much between them, and Snow Falcon went through the race with plenty of enthusiasm on the front end, you know, doing a fair bit, where Invitation Only come with a more restrained ride and picked up cheaper gains later in the race, where Snow Falcon, you know, was on the front end, at the business, doing plenty, if you like, and to finish fifth, I thought that was a real good effort. He obviously missed the handicap route, the Ultima, on the first day to take in this race. He is an 8-year-old. Younger horses usually dominate this race. 6- and 7-year-olds have won every single renewal so far. But I think Snow Falcon is the one in this lineup that can give Invitation Only most to do. Okay. It'd be two against the field.
And crucially, Snow Falcon and Invitation Only both trained in Ireland, and there's only been 7 runnings of this race, and it's gone to Ireland 6 times, with Willie Mullins winning 4 of them, including the last 3. So could be something to think about in that one. Focus on the Ryanair now, coming up at 2:50. The Ryanair Chase, a Grade 1, of course, of the extended 2.5-mile trip. Underso is the logical starting point. Won this race last year. And to be honest, Greg, everything seems set for another win, really.
Yeah, I mean, I anticipated when we first talked about this race 3 weeks ago, I thought he'd go off 6-4.
Yeah.
He's now even money. You know, the race looked like it was going to fall apart. It has fallen apart. And he, you know, was an emphatic winner of last year's renewal. You know, even now is getting a little bit on the skinny side for him. Obviously, you know, we await any jockey changes with news on Ruby Walsh, who, you know, I think he's key to the horse, although Paul Townend did ride him at Ascot last time. But evens are short.
What could beat him, though? That's the thing.
I'm quite keen on one here. Balco de Flos.
Okay.
A horse trained by Henry de Bromhead. You know, he hasn't had the best of Cheltenham records of late. Mona Lee was second. But this horse ran really well at Christmas time at Leopardstown in the Christmas Chase. Finished second to Road to Respect. The way he went through that race suggests the step back and trip, you know, will definitely play to his strengths. His jumping was immaculate, you know, and I think coming back and trip, hopefully Davy Russell can make plenty of use of him. But, you know, that isn't going to be easy with the front running Underso in the lineup. But 3 years younger is Balco de Flos.
Yeah.
He's open to plenty of improvement. He produced a career best on his last start. You know, comes here in tip-top shape. I think he could be the one to beat Underso.
Okay, Balco de Flos then of interest for Craig in the 2:50, the Ryanair, and the 3:30, the Stayers Hurdle. over 3 miles. 17 of them run here. It's great to see such a big field. I mean, you go back not too long ago, and when Big Books was dominating these kind of races, for all that Big Books was an absolute superstar, that they were pretty uncompetitive. You look at this year's renewal, and it's...
uncompetitive?
Well, do you think though? Honestly?
Yes.
Okay, that's interesting, because I genuinely have not even the slightest inkling of what could win this.
Sam Spinner, and Sam Spinner by over 5 lengths.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Go on, sell it to me.
He's been a revelation this year over staying distances. He was very, very impressive when he tore a very competitive handicap apart at Haydock, which was the old fixed brush final. And that form worked out particularly well. You know, he made the step from there into grade one company. And again, you know, that aggressive style from the front was seen to good effect at Ascot. He's seen off Lamy Surge, who travelled really well into the contest fairly easily in the latter stages of the race. You know, I think this is a young stayer going places. You know, he's a straightforward ride from the front, taxis hurdles, stays well, will handle the heavy ground, which could well come back into the going description on Thursday. And I think he's a lot more straightforward with proven stamina. That cannot be said for the likes of Yanworth and Super Sunday.
Okay. I take on board the stamina concerns for the others, but there's still some horses that we know do stay that certainly have got ability. We've got, you know what I mean, Harry, we've got Holston. We've got a few flies in the ointment at slightly bigger prices. Maybe Let's Dance, Lamy Surge, perhaps Penhill returning from a layoff. Bacardi's can't be discounted. I think this is a lot more open than you give it credit for, Craig.
Yeah, Bacardi's. I don't like chasers coming back to hurdles to grade one company, Alex. I always think, you know, they'd be better with a prep over hurdles before coming into this class of a race. And obviously that affects Yanworth, who was last seen over fences at Cheltenham, mm-hmm. and Bacardi's, mm-hmm. who had their most recent starts over the larger obstacles. We did see the mare win the mare's hurdle coming back from a chase campaign.
Benny Didger.
But, you know, in a grade one stairs hurdle, I think that is a very tough assignment. So that was my reasons for being against Bacardi's and Yanworth. You know what I mean, Harry hasn't been in anywhere near the same level of form as he was 12 months ago. He looks on the downgrade. Penhill, we haven't seen for 323 days. Be a fantastic training performance from Willie Mullins if he can win this, of course. Festival form winning.
Chesterville, nice.
Festival winning form last year in the Alba. Bartlett beating Monnelly. But it will take a good effort from Willie Mullins to bring him back to his best. The one at a big price, Alex, that I would give a chance to, but I think the ground's definitely gone against them, is The World's End.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would have been my bigger priced each way alternative in the race, but the ground has gone completely against them. Jockey said after his last run he absolutely hated the heavy conditions. And, you know, there's still time. If it is, we do get a fair amount of rain overnight, he could well be withdrawn.
But he's young enough to come back again another year.
Yeah, he's only a 7-year-old. You know, he's still got a future.
Yeah.
He's had 3 runs this year, and a lot of people may look at those 3 runs and think he's been a little disappointing.
Mm.
But I ain't going to write him off at this stage of his career. I still think he's got a big future ahead of him.
Okay. Best bet then on Thursday.
Balco de Flo in the Ryanair Chase at 250.
And the next best?
Oh, this is hard work. You're getting... Sam Spinner.
Okay. Right, thank you very much, Craig. Good luck with your fancies on Thursday. The same to you, listeners. Make sure you tune in to William Hill Racing Radio for all of the action on Thursday afternoon, and we'll be back soon on the William Hill Racing Podcast.
The Cheltenham Festival 2018. Our strongest lineup yet.
Enhanced odds, high five, and extra bet boosts on every race.
Check out all the Cheltenham betting and T's and C's at williamhill.com.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.